I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. We come to you live from the CBS Sports Radio Studios in Houston. Sports Radio 610 and CBS Sports Radio 650 have been tremendous hosts today and tomorrow. So excited to be down here where there's World Series fever. And one of the biggest sports fans, I think, in entertainment, certainly in the comedy side of things, is Michael Rappaport. You've seen him on the sideline doing the big three for FS1. He's always at Knicks games and NBA games. He's all over the sports world, and he's got a brand new book out, which is called This Book Has Balls, Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash. Michael Rappaport joining us here on the show. Michael, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm going good. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, bud. So it was cool to see you on the sidelines this summer doing the FS1 Big Three. You are not the traditional, let me ask you about your designs on the play call in the third quarter type of guy of sideline reporter. So how did you approach that? Because it seemed like you had a lot of fun over there.
I did have a lot of fun with the Big Three. It was fun. I just approach it from a fan's point of view. You know, I didn't try to act cool. I didn't try to act not excited. Sitting there interviewing Allen Iverson and Dr. J and Gary Payton, you know, you're not supposed to be cool. You're supposed to be excited. And I just try to let, you know, be myself and just try to do it from, a fan's point of view.
You're a big basketball fan. That's why you fit so well into that role. But being a big basketball fan means you have some favorites and you have some enemies. And apparently LeBron James has been your enemy for a while now. You have held a grudge and had a beef with him for a while, and you finally admitted why. It's because LeBron dissed your kids? What happened?
At the 2011 Celebrity All-Star Game, where I'm a former MVP of, he was rude to me and to my kids. It was blatant. It was obvious. And you know, that was one thing. And in the book, I articulate in one of the chapters, 23 reasons why LeBron James will never be like Mike. And that's just one of the reasons. Obviously, he's a great player, but I think a lot of his shenanigans off the court and manipulating the situation for his benefit, really will eventually detract from, you know, his greatness on the court.
Can you at least admit, though, that he could be the second greatest player of all time?
Oh, yeah, he might be. There's no argument how great he is of a basketball player.
But he won't be Michael from a basketball player standpoint because what you think has happened off the court with him.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan is number one, period. Kobe, you know, might be number two. Magic Johnson might be number two. It could be LeBron James. It's so subjective, who your favorite is, if they're part of your team, if they beat your team, you know, the statistics, you know, the eye test. You know, it's hard to say who's the best. Some people might not even say Michael's the best. And I think that's why, we all love sports. And that's one of the reasons why, I wrote the book, because it's a never-ending sort of thrill of victory, agony of defeat, struggle for all of us, and who you love, who you don't love, what's happening with your team, and this and that.
Michael Rappaport joins us. You got a new book, This Book Has Balls, Sports Rant from the MVP of Talking Trash. If you are the MVP of Talking Trash, I'm guessing you have talked trash to LeBron James. Is that the reason? Have you given him a lot of trash talking, and that's why he dissed you and your kids?
No. This was before I was even sort of a quote-unquote sports. I have no idea why he did, but I heard that it had something to do with a friend of a friend and a friend of his friend that had something to do with a girl with a friend. None of that makes a difference to young kids. They don't want any sneakers. They don't even want a picture. You could give them a smile and a pound to keep it moving.
So this is like 6 degrees of Michael Rappaport. This is why LeBron threw a friend and a girl and a friend and a friend. That's why this has all come to a head?
Yeah. That's what you're getting, man. I've answered the question.
So you grew up a huge Knicks fan. We've had you on the show before. We've talked fantasy football with you before. We've talked about the Knicks before. And you have a Knicks season that, again, looks like it's a dumpster fire. Are you excited ever to go into a Knicks season now, or do you just basically assume the worst?
I've detached with love. I'm not excited. I'm not emotionally involved with the Knicks this season. I've had enough. I've reached my tipping point. I can only take so much, and I'm taking an emotional break from the Knicks for this entire season.
So no matter what happens, like if they slip into the 8 seed and make the playoffs, are you back in for the playoffs? You said, no, it doesn't matter what happens.
I'm always going to root for them. I'm not rooting against them. I'm just not focusing my attention. I wish the Knicks – I'm always going to be a Knicks fan. You can't change that. That's what's in my heart. But I'm not going to be involved with the day-to-day craziness and dysfunction that has historically been a part of the New York Knicks.
Is that because of James Dolan?
Well, he's the only consistent factor that remains there. I mean, the Knicks are so screwed up that we can't even rebuild correctly. Like, I don't know why the hell Kurt Rambis, why is he still part of the team? Like, we got rid of Phil. That was Phil's guy. Like, why is Kurt Rambis in New York? Why doesn't he go back to L.A. or go to Utah? Like, leave. Like let's clean house once and for all. I don't understand why we can never do that like other organizations have done.
Did you want to see Carmelo traded?
I think Carmelo deserved to be traded. I didn't want to see him go, but the disrespect and the insulting and the public humiliation is nobody deserved that. Carmelo, you could say what you want to say about him as a player. He's not Dwayne Wade. He's not LeBron. But the taunting of Carmelo and the tweeting of Porzingis, no one deserves what those guys have went through. So I'm glad he's on the Thunder now, and I wish him all the luck.
Noted Knicks fan Michael Rappaport joins us here on the show. Okay, who had the more dysfunctional general manager reign, Isaiah Thomas or Phil?
Jesus. Man, that's hard to say. It's hard to say. I'd have to run the numbers and crunch the numbers on that, but they were both terrible.
Have you ever broken anything in your house because of a Knicks loss?
No, I'm not a breaker. I'm more of a screamer. If anything, I've broken my vocal cords.
Yeah.
I don't hit things and break things physically when it comes to anything really. That's not my thing. But I definitely have lost my voice a bunch of times and lost. I feel like my stress levels go up. Dealing with the Knicks.
As an MVP of Talking Trash, you have had some amazing seats to some amazing games. And so you're close enough to be talking trash to the players. Who is the best player to spar with? Who is a guy that's going to give it back to you?
The person who I got it back from the most was Reggie Miller, Karl Malone. Those were like two of the ones that engaged back. Those are two of the ones that stuck out that, could openly hear me and, spoke back and said things back.
Do you have rules for trash talking? Like, is there a bar that you can't go below? Is there a rule to what's okay and what's not okay?
I like to keep it above the belt in terms of definitely personally, and you don't want to be mean spirited. It's more like snapping, you know. It's like jabbing. It's more general stuff, you know. Like, you don't want to go into anything personal, because I don't think that's not what I'm into. It's more about, like, you know, just general sort of above the belt, hard hitting, smash mouth trash talking.
So when I imagine your house or your apartment, I imagine there's all types of sports memorabilia on the wall. I can imagine, like, Patrick Ewing's jersey or Bernard King's jock strap or Charles Oakley, like a piece of his hair or something like this, framed and on the wall. What is that the way that your house is? Do you have the memorabilia all over the place?
No, I don't. I don't have memorabilia all over the place. I'm not a memorabilia guy, so I'm not a collector of things. But if you were to offer me Charles Oakley's hair, especially with since he's gone gray and he's got the silver fox hair, I wouldn't keep it. But that's definitely not like my first thing that I go to.
So, have you ever attended the Oscars?
Never been to the Oscars. Been to the big Oscar parties, but never been to the Oscars.
Okay. So would it be a bigger thrill to be at the Knicks parade if they win an NBA Finals, NBA Championship, or win an Oscar?
Damn, that's a good question, man.
Like best supporting actor or something like
that. Nah, I got to go with myself. You know, okay. I got to go with the Oscar. I have to go with the Oscar. I'm not going to lie and sit here. I would take a Knicks championship over me winning an Oscar. Because if the Knicks got themselves in a position to win one championship, you would hope that they would be able to get back to win another championship. So since it's taken so long, I need to get my Oscar and then they could, you know, win their second championship.
Okay, gotcha. Michael Rappaport has a new book out called This Book Has Balls, Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash. Huge, noted basketball fan. You've seen him all over the place in the NBA, Celebrity Games, FS1, Sideline for the Big Three. Mike, it's always good to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much. Good luck with the book.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Michael Rappaport joining us here on the show. I mean, look, he said he has had a kerfuffle, a beef with LeBron, so I just wanted to get to the bottom of it. He went on the Breakfast Club and talked about it, so why not do it here as well? I mean, I might not be Charlemagne the God, but we could at least get to the bottom of why you got a beef with LeBron. It's about a guy who knows a guy who knows a girl about a guy about a girl. That's what we got, and that was it. And Michael said, right. And Michael said, I've answered the question. I don't know what you want from me. All right. You got it. When we come back here on the show, why Cam Newton is continually stuck in neutral. And it's not all his fault. I'll tell you why. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Kid Rock is hitting the road in 2018 to bring you the Greatest Show on Earth tour. Experience all your favorite hits, plus new music from the upcoming album, Sweet Southern Sugar. Don't miss out on an epic night of rock. Tickets go on sale Friday, November the 3rd at LiveNation.com. Welcome back, DA with you. A little reminder that the Da Show can be taken with you on the road, on the go. You can listen to us and watch us. Listen to us at CBSSportsRadio.com or on the app, the CBS Sports app, or the TuneIn app, or the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. And, of course, you can always watch us at WatchDA.com, except for today and tomorrow, because I'm on the road in Houston today and tomorrow. Tweets coming in. Daniel tweets, DA, do the Cavaliers jump the gun and trade the first-round pick for Bledsoe after seeing the Nets play last night? I don't think you're the Cavaliers who jump the gun in anything right now. As I mentioned before, last night told me more about the Nets than it did about the Cavaliers. We know the Cavaliers are a work in progress. We don't worry about the Cavaliers being a work in progress. It is natural for the media to overreact to LeBron James to the Cavaliers. it's natural for the media to give them a lot of attention that is probably undeserved. And from this standpoint, the regular season clearly doesn't matter for them. I mean, last season, they had a totally underwhelming regular season. They didn't even get the number one seed. By the end of the year, they were basically trying to give away the number one seed by not playing their starters. And it didn't even really matter. They still blitzkrieg the Boston Celtics. So are the Celtics better this year? Yeah, they are. Although losing Gordon Hayward means that maybe they're only slightly better, having lost Isaiah Thomas and added Kyrie Irving. But I still think they're a little better because you're seeing the addition of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown pay dividends right now. But it doesn't matter what happened to the regular season.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It just matters getting there. So I don't think if you're the Cavaliers, you have to overreact to that loss. It tells me a lot about the Brooklyn Nets, though, that they're going to be a tough out every single night. Anthony tweets, tip of the cap to Kenny Atkinson, who has got the young Nets battling every game without any real stars or great talent. No question. Atkinson has a lot of attention and a lot of respect already around the league because a team bereft of talent still plays hard. Joe Girardi out as Yankees manager. They do not renew his contract, which is pretty astounding considering he just went to Game 7 of the World of the ALCS within a whiff of the World Series. What would have happened had they made the World Series? Would they have cut bait with him had they made the World Series? How about if they win the World Series? I think if they win the World Series, there's no way you can cut bait. I'd have to double check, but has there been a manager that was not renewed, fired, or his contract not extended after winning a World Series? There might have been a guy that has retired after winning a World Series, but has there been a guy that didn't return after winning the World Series? I understand. Expectations are high in New York. Expectations are high with the Yankees. And over 10 years with the Yankees, Girardi made the postseason 6 times. That's good. But he only won the division 3 times. That's not so good. But the guy won a World Series, went to Game 7 of the ALCS this year, and you better have a guy who's just as good in your mind to take over instead of just cutting bait. Now, I think that they do in their mind. Why? Because I think Brian Cashman's a really good general manager. Cashman has been able to balance the whims of George Steinbrenner, of needing to win every year, of spending buku bucks to do so, of the immediacy, buy this guy, buy that guy, buy this guy, trade away this guy, trade away these young guys, win now, win now, win now, and was able to somehow over the last couple of years walk the delicate line of also building back the farm system. If you are a fan of a team that has gone decades without winning a World Series, if you're a Brewers fan, if you're a Mariners fan, if you're a Rangers fan, if you're a Pirates fan, you know that it could take a decade to rebuild. Did you go through fits and starts, and this guy makes it, this guy doesn't, this guy gets injured, this guy doesn't, this guy looks like a star, but they don't all come up together. You got to trade this guy before you can re-sign this guy. And it's very hard to get it all cooking at once. Somehow, Cashman was able to swing the pendulum from overpriced, aging team to young team on the cusp of a championship within 3 years, which is amazing. Now, to be fair, all of those general managers that I just mentioned would love to have the payroll of the Yankees, would love to have Brian Cashman's resources, but you still have to draft and develop the right guys. You still have to be savvy. And I think with all of the moves that Cashman has made the last couple of years, it proves his baseball acumen. And I got to imagine he's got a guy that he wants to be the next manager if you're going to cut bait with a guy that has won a World Series and brought you to Game 7 of the ALCS. But careful what you wish for. Careful. Cam Newton yesterday takes the podium. What does he do at his weekly podium press conference? He answers nine minutes of questions, and then is asked why early in the season you guys were able to create big plays, like against New England, and then last 2 weeks, no big plays, you've lost both games, and you just come off a terrible performance against the Chicago Bears, in which you scored a total of 3 points. Cam rolls his eyes, takes a huff, and then immediately walks off the podium. Here it is.
We just have to start fast and just build momentum throughout the game.
And big plays, big chunk plays kind of get to that energy, I think, that you're talking about. Does this offense, and I know you had several at Detroit and New England, you think you guys have the wherewithal to do that consistently week in and week out?
Next question.
Is that aggressive of a question? Is that stupid of a question? What you have to realize is, in your mind, you might be going, it's not a great question. Okay, might not be a great question. It might not be Bob Costas asking the question or Walter Cronkite asking the question. But you know how many bad questions you get? You know how many dopey questions athletes and coaches answer? That's not even in the bottom 50%. That's a completely benign question that all you have to say is, yeah, we've got the guys, we're working hard, we did it earlier in the season, and we're going to try to get back to doing it. That's it! Is that difficult? Of course not. It's not that difficult. You want to know how we know it's not difficult? Philip Rivers has never played in the Super Bowl. He never rolls his eyes and walks off the podium. You think he might have had a question or two come his way that he wants to not answer? Of course! Drew Brees is going to the Hall of Fame. The guy hasn't gone to a Super Bowl in nearly 10 years. Basically, hasn't won many playoff games in 10 years. Does he roll his eyes and walk off the podium? Of course not. Deshaun Watson's been in this league for 5 minutes. Does that guy roll his eyes and walk off the podium? Does Russell Wilson roll his eyes and say next question? Of course not. Peyton Manning had more pressure to win a Super Bowl on him than maybe any quarterback ever because of expectations, the way his regular seasons went, the way his postseasons went, and it took him from 1998 through 2006 and multiple losses to the rival Patriots in the playoffs. Did he ever get a question and walk off the podium and say, next question, I'm not answering that? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Warren Moon had to play in the Canadian freaking Football League for 5 years because the league's front offices were so racist, they thought that a huge, big, strong-arm quarterback from a power conference that won a Rose Bowl couldn't get it done in the NFL. Did he ever walk off of a podium, roll his eyes, and say, next question? Of course not. Why? Because all the guys I mentioned are professionals. Because all the guys mentioned went through things that gave them perspective and context and tutelage and teaching to say, that won't help me. I might be frustrated by a question, but that's not going to help me. In Cam's case, all he does is say whatever he wants and do whatever he wants. Why? No accountability inside that organization. They're still making excuses for him, and it's sad. The Panthers can be a very good organization, but the Panthers have entitled him and coddled him to act like a child and still make excuses. Their statement from yesterday was, Cam thought he was done. Oh, got it. So time was up. You roll your eyes. You say next question and you walk off the podium because that's the when you thought your time was done. Got it. Excuse making in Carolina. This is not even all Cam Newton's fault. Do you think Cam Newton would answer that question that way if Bill Belichick was his head coach? Of course not. No chance. Absolutely no chance. No chance. The Panthers have enabled him to act like a twit. When we come back, we've got your cut line. The stories that didn't make the cut, including the Dallas Cowboys cutting a player where Jerry Jones may have ruffled a few feathers. We'll do that next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that? I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Dante Hightower, big part of the Patriots defense, will reportedly miss the rest of the season. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, tweeting Dante Hightower, torn pec, out for the year, sources say. Ben Volen, who covers the Patriots, also confirming. Albert Breer, MMQB, also confirming the pec issue Breer says was existing, which caused teams to back off on him in March. Breer says the pec was partially torn by the time he took physicals in March. It's why he failed them. It's why other offers were pulled. He eventually signed a four-year deal, $43.5 mil with New England, after he visited the Jets and the Steelers. Dante Hightower is a massive piece of the puzzle for a Patriots defense trying to not be embarrassing. And look, they were very, very effective against the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday night. But let's be real. That may have just been because they're the Falcons. The Falcons have problems. The Falcons are emotionally spent seeds. Right now, they can't get out of their own way. And I think that emotionally, they just couldn't get into that game. They saw the ghosts. They heard the echoes of what happened in the Super Bowl. And they were spooked. I don't think they were ready for Sunday night. Should the Patriots defense get better? Yeah, I can't imagine a defense that has Bill Belichick ultimately overseeing it, even though he's not the defensive coordinator. I have a hard time believing he's not going to be able to fix some of this by the end of the season. But you need guys like Hightower, and they just have no depth. And so now Kyle Van Noy, Elandon Roberts, David Harris, these are guys that will get more snaps. You might see them bring up a safety like Patrick Chung into the box. But when that happens, it exposes other parts of your defense. Patriots are having a tough time defending last year. And it's primarily because of the D. And the more you put on Tom Brady's plate at 40 years old, eventually it's going to bite you. Brady is the greatest quarterback at this age ever. Nobody's ever done what he is doing at 40. Favre came close, but Favre wasn't this effective. The problem is, at some point, you can't put more on Brady's plate. You've got to put less on his plate, and the Patriots defense not giving them the chance to do so. We just had Michael Rappaport on, who is comedian, big sports fan, has a new book out, which calls himself the King of Trash Talk, which is interesting because we posted a picture on CBS Sports Radio's Twitter feed of Michael Rappaport coming up. And he has his Yankees hat on. He was not coming out. He has his Yankees hat on and maybe looking a little pale. Maybe it's the middle of the winter or something like that. He's got a hoodie on and a jacket. And Nate tweets, Michael Rappaport looking like Powder in his older days, with a picture of the movie character Powder, who's pale and bald and wearing a hat. Rappaport fires back, saying, and you're looking like this, and put a picture of Nate, of his avatar, blown up, which, I don't know, I think Nate looks fine. He's got a hat on, got a nice little close crop goatee. He's smiling. I don't know. Nate looks fine. But what we have here is the quote-unquote self-proclaimed king of trash talk, trash-talking our listeners. after being on the show. I guess when you mess with the bull, you get the horns. But do we need this? Do we need friendly fire aboard the mothership between Michael Rappaport and our listeners and the D-Aliens? I would say no. Back off, Mike. I got my guys. I got my listeners. You've been on the show twice. They're with me every single day. Back off. All right, let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
There was a lot of trash talk between the Wizards and the Lakers as John Wall, Marcin Gortat said, was prepared to torture Lonzo Ball for 48 minutes. Wall said he would show Lonzo no mercy. And last night, John Wall did not have a great game. Shot 7 of 22, turned the ball over 4 times, was minus 14. And the Lakers come back from down double digits to win 102-99. Now, Lonzo didn't have a great game, certainly shooting-wise. He shot just 2 of 11, although he did have 10 assists and 8 rebounds. But obviously, they got the win. And so all this pressure, all this hootenanny stuff that comes with Lonzo Ball and LaVar Ball and all that is going to be with us the entire season. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to calm down anytime soon. And so basically every game becomes a referendum on Lonzo, unfortunately. And this is going to be this kind of seesaw emotional stuff that happens, I think, with the Lakers all season long. A team targets him, wants to go after him, and then does he respond or not respond? And that whole thing is just going to be a story that keeps playing itself over and over and over again until we all become tuckered out. Yeah.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
We're on remote. Things could be on a bit of a delay. Last night, game number 2. Astros, Dodgers, they make history. 8 home runs in game number 2. That's 11 through the first 2 games of the World Series, which is the most ever behind only, or tied now only, with the swollen head Barry Bonds Angels-Giants World Series in 2002. That means more home runs have been hit in the first 2 games of this series than any series since the height of the steroid era with the height of the steroid era. But what a game last night by the Astros. We talked a lot about this earlier in the morning, but I thought Dave Roberts, too soon with the hook of Rich Hill, only giving him 4 innings. That taxed the Dodgers' bullpen more than it needed to be taxed. It forced Kenley Jansen to have to go 2 innings instead of 1. And let's give major props to the Astros. Houston's bats had been so quiet in the ALCS despite winning in 7. It had been quiet in Game 1 and quiet through 8 innings of Game 2. And then they exploded. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, George Springer, all with monster hits. Gonzalez with a monster home run. Those guys delivered. And if they've woken up the bats, they've woken up the real Astros, because that was the strength of this team all season long. Yes, they had Dallas Keuchel, but they didn't have Justin Verlander. But they had offense. Offense, offense. They didn't have a great bullpen, they had a serviceable bullpen. But they had offense, offense, offense. And we really didn't see that for October. And now, for the first time, the bats exploded. And if that's the offense that you're going to get from Houston, it's going to be a long 3 games at Minute Maid Park on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Tonight, we've got Ravens and Dolphins on Thursday Night Football, and Matt Moore is in for the Dolphins. Frankly, I think that they're actually going to respond and that they might be even better with Matt Moore instead of Jay Cutler. I will say, though, that tonight is not exactly a night that you need to be watching. And so I will be at the Houston Dynamo Sporting FC 1-game playoff in MLS. I always love this time of year because the MLS playoffs are fantastic. They're 1-game knockouts in the first round. They've invited me down here to Houston to go behind the scenes with the coaching staff, with the players, on the field, in the box, everywhere. And I said, I got to take you up on this offer, man, especially for a playoff game. So I'm super excited to be down here. And for the MLS crew watching last night, the Red Bulls get a big 4-0 victory in Chicago. And MLS fans watching tonight's games as well, I think we should have some good ones. Sporting KC and the Houston Dynamo don't like one another. They play each other often. They certainly did late this season. Should be a good one tonight. I'll have the report coming up tomorrow morning on the show.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, ex-Giant Demontre Moore, now member of the Dallas Cowboys, was released. And Moore was one of the guys who continued to raise his fist at the end of the national anthem. And people are wondering if that's the reason Jerry Jones released Demontre Moore. They did not say that that was the reason, but Jerry Jones has stated that he would take that out and players would not play. He didn't want to employ guys that disrespect the national anthem. So was this a message sent a little bit like Isaiah, or Lucky Whitehead rather, was sent earlier in the offseason? Perhaps. Don't put it past him, because for Jerry Jones, he's not going to cut Dez Bryant if he does it. Ezekiel Elliott could kneel during the national anthem. He's going to play. But this is one of those things where a guy who's expendable does it, well, then you use him to send a message.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Time now for your epic fail. As I flew down to Houston yesterday, not only did I get a flight, but I also got a flight attendant who is doing stand-up. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Yesterday, I had a flight attendant that insisted on friendly trash talking with people on the plane. This guy apparently was a Cowboys fan, and we were flying into Dallas, or flying into Houston, rather.
Houston. Houston.
Over the loudspeaker, he's saying, "Go Cowboys," to get a cheer and then a boo out of Texans fans.
The Cowboys got their ass beat.
He comes around handing out the snacks, the pretzels, the potato chips. He hands them out and goes, "Fried chicken, cheeseburger, pizza. All right, we get the bit."
Don't get me started on the charcuterie board.
People are cracking up. And then as we're landing, sung to the tune of "She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes," he's singing "What We Need to Do." "You should put up the tray in front of you when we land. Oh, gather up your trash and do this, do this, do this, and headphone your handphones in a bag.
She'll be coming around the mountain, she'll be coming around the mountain, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes."
And everyone's laughing and clapping, and I'm like, I don't need this. I need a button-up professional crew here. I don't need a vaudeville act. I don't need some type of minstrel show. Now, I am thousands of feet above the land. I am in a big tin metal thing that I still don't understand the physics of how we're actually flying. I know we're going hundreds of miles an hour.
Houston means that I'm one day closer to you.
And storm and weather and mechanical stuff always can throw you off a little bit and always makes you nervous. And I got this guy singing, "She'll be coming around the mountain," about what we need to do with our trash and about our seatbacks? No!
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
No thanks. Don't need it. Don't want it. I need all business. All business. Button up. All the time. Tyler tweets, "Don't trash the guy for trying to have a little fun of the job. Slap on your earbuds, crank some death metal, drown him out." Well, I don't listen to death metal per se, but I tried. I just don't want people joking around when my life is in their hands. Mike wants me to read his ox roast recipe. We've joked about ox roast with Katie Linendahl here on the show. His recipe is very thin sliced roast beef cooked in an onion soup or broth.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Use crock pot, pour your liquid over the beef. Cook 3 to 4 hours on high, add additional seasoning, serve on a Kaiser roll. #you need to eat like this. I've never heard of ox roast. Apparently, this is an Erie, PA thing. Apparently, this is a Katie Linendahl neighborhood thing. I'm willing to try some ox roast, and perhaps we'll have some ox roast when we have her on the show on Monday. Yes, Monday she's going to be coming in her Halloween costume because she's a huge Halloween costume fan. She has like a million of them. So she's going to come into the studio and hang out with us. We'll, in fact, all be dressed up on Monday doing a little pre-Halloween da show, and perhaps we'll be serving ox roast to all the kids that come by to trick-or-treat. Here's a sliced piece of ox roast beef in onion soup for you. And what are you being? Oh, the princess from Frozen. Well, here is some ox roast for you. And what are you? Oh, you're a transformer. Here's two ox roasts for you. Oh, what are you? A ghost? Here's a Kaiser roll for you. That's how we're going to play it here on the show. All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, and Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Sports Radio 610 here in Houston for housing us today and tomorrow. We've got a big old fat spaceship. We got to land on this place. They had a nice helipad for us to do so. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow. The mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.